Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. President Obama this week eulogized the 12 people killed in the shooting rampage at the Navy Yard in Washington and asked, do we care enough to change? We put that same question to Duke University professor Phil Cook, who has been studying the issue of gun violence for almost 40 years. Professor Cook, thank you very much for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Let's just jump in and talk about where we are in the debate about gun laws in the country. President Obama actually, asked an interesting question recently as he was eulogizing the people who were killed at the Navy Yard, saying, do we care enough to change? And I wondered, where do you think we are? Are we at a point where we can make some changes to our laws to prevent gun violence, or is this just more political talk in Washington?
I don't expect that we're going to see anything come out of Congress anytime soon. It seems to be in deep gridlock. But certainly we've seen a lot of activity at the state level, including North Carolina.
Yeah, and you mentioned the state level. I guess coming up very soon, we have a new gun law that goes into effect that was passed this year, which actually, for lack of a better word, I guess weakened some of our gun laws or expanded the places where people can take concealed handguns.
That's right. I think it's been part of a national push by the National Rifle Association and gun rights organizations to increase the privileges that are associated with having a concealed handgun permit. In this case, it includes the possibility of taking a gun into a place where alcohol is served, that is a restaurant or a bar, even though the law specifies that somebody who is carrying a gun is not allowed to drink. So it does keep that provision. It also allows the concealed handgun permittee to carry a gun into the parking lot of a public campus or a state building. I think this is, as I say, part of a general movement to expand the privileges associated with concealed carry permits, in effect to treat people who have these permits as deputies, even though they don't have police training or much training of any kind.
It's interesting that that we are at a place where the response to when we have these incidents like the Sandy Hook or the Navy Yard, there's talk of sort of going the other direction, and yet states, as you mentioned, is part of a national trend. How do you explain the, when you see public opinion surveys, for the most part, the majority of people support some reasonable restrictions. They support universal background checks, for example, and at the federal level, nothing happens, and the state seems to be going the opposite direction.
That's right. Most of the states that changed their laws following the massacre in Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut, most of the states that changed their laws ended up actually making them more liberal and increasing the scope for the concealed carry permit. California, New York, Maryland, and a couple of others went the other direction. It's hard to explain why these kinds of horrific events don't garner more support for doing something serious about reducing gun violence. It must be said, though, that the North Carolina law does do a couple of things. It enhances sentences for people who use a gun in crime, and it improves the reporting to the FBI system, the NICS system, that is the database that's used for doing background checks for handgun sales.
What did you make of the also another change to the law made this year that would prohibit local governments from, or law enforcement agencies from, destroying guns that they collect in so-called buyback operations to get guns off the streets, and now they must, I guess, either sell those or donate them or otherwise, or use, I guess, those weapons?
Right. I think that is part of the broader effort to establish guns as virtuous, as a good thing, and not something to be demonized. You know, I think that the consequence is going to be to take the wind out of the sails in terms of doing these local programs to ask people to bring return in their guns. I just can't imagine that we're going to see any more buybacks programs in North Carolina given that law. You know, will that matter? I think that the evidence on the buyback programs has suggested that they don't accomplish very much in terms of reducing gun violence. But, you know, they certainly have been popular, and I'm sorry that the state felt the need to regulate them in this way.
Is there something that the research shows does reduce gun violence? I mean, putting aside the politics of it all, are there significant things that we can actually do from a policy perspective if the politics made that possible?
Well, I think that the sentence enhancement program for crimes committed with guns has some possibility of making a difference. Certainly, there's evidence saying that it does. I think that there are studies, including those that I've been involved in, that say that the background check system is somewhat effective, and particularly in the mental health area, that if we can improve reporting of people who have been involuntarily committed or otherwise have been judged to be severely mentally ill, that will actually reduce by a small amount the amount of violent crime and perhaps suicide as well. So that would be a start. I would say that those are areas that we should do more. California has been a leader in this area, and they have made it illegal for people who have violent misdemeanors on their record to buy a gun. Actually, that turns out also to have been effective in reducing gun use and crime in California. They've now extended that to include people who have multiple DUI arrests and convictions, which seems like a very sensible thing. So there's a variety of possibilities that I think are promising in this area, and we could work to make North Carolina safer.
Is there a lot of research about gun laws going on? I mean, are there studies that need to be done that aren't funded? I mean, what should we be doing empirically to try to find out what the answer to this is?
Yeah, I think that even though the Centers for Disease Control, for example, has not funded any research in this area for a long time, that there is quite a bit of research going on, and the funding for that research is coming to a large extent from private sources. You know, that would be private foundations, for example, that are supporting me and others in this area just because the federal government is not a player. So in terms of what needs to be done, let me brag a little bit about a project that I'm involved in with a number of other people that is looking at the question about how do the most dangerous people, the gang members and others who are likely to become shooters, how do they get their guns, and what sort of strategy might be useful to reduce their access to guns? We're looking in Chicago and Los Angeles, Boston, New York, Baltimore. I would love to extend the study to North Carolina as well. The purpose of it is to say, is there a smarter police work that would actually disrupt the underground market and have the effect of disarming some of these most dangerous people?
I guess it's too early to tell us if there are any preliminary findings or ideas about that.
Yeah, we've just started on this, and I think that I would love to talk to you in a year or so and talk about what I hope to be some clear findings coming out of that.
Well, we will definitely do that. Professor Cook, thank you very much for what you're doing. Thanks for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.